أهلا وسهلا to everyone to this session or this course actually on the Hanafi sort of essentials. I've been honored and charged with the task of going through some preliminary Hanafi texts in matters of theology, law, and suluk. Behavior and conduct or spirituality from now until bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you know, into the year, very much deep into the year. And you may be aware, you may have received, you may have seen sort of a presentation by His Highness Prince Ghazi. May Allah preserve him and protect him. And may Allah give him increase in the work that he's been doing and continues to do. And the session that you've logged into, the course that you've logged onto and signed up to, is one part of the Wise Academy. I will refer you to that video for the details. It was a session where His Highness went over the purpose of these courses and as part of the WISE Islamic Educational Outreach and Program, the English wing of the WISE University. So there are a number of texts that we'll be going through bi'idhnillahi ta'ala from now until however long Allah wills us to do it. And they get progressively sort of more difficult. We have the essential text that we are going to go through. One of them is today. It was one text today, which I'll be talking about. And then we move up levels. And so, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we hope that this proves beneficial. We hope that Allah gives you and I the patience to go through the material. And Allah gives us the honor of completing these texts and gaining the knowledge that's contained in them. The person sitting at this side of the screen, wallahi, and I don't say this in a kind of empty way, is probably not worthier than any of you sitting on that side of the screen. And again, I would say, forgive me for my shortcomings as we go through these sessions. My knowledge is very limited. And I ask Allah to give you an tawfiq and the amal, really, to act upon the ilm that inshallah that we will be learning and that's contained in these books. So I know our sessions are relatively short, about an hour and an hour plus, and it's deliberately kept that way. They're very short, and so we hope that, you know, it continues steadily, despite it might take a long time, but steadily. There's no rush to get through these texts. And so we want to give it due diligence as we read through. So the basic format of these courses in the Hanafi sort of, if you're part of the Hanafi contingent, shall we say, the Hanafi courses, we don't assume that people have knowledge of Islam or have any specialized knowledge. You may do. So in that case, you might benefit from the text as a refresher or some angles that I'll be discussing. So the way the format generally is that I will talk for a segment of the text. I'll read through the text from beginning to end of the section that I intend to go through with you. And then I'll open up to some questions, some general questions and comments from your side. I don't really want to speak more than half an hour, 40 minutes, i.e. the reading and the commenting. And after that, I want to open up to discussion, and then that will give us a full hour, bi'idhnillah, for each time we sit together. So we ask Allah to accept it from us and make this gathering a blessed gathering. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the tawfiq to not only conduct these lessons, but to maintain their attendance and to gain benefit from them. Ameen. Rabbil Alameen. So the text that we're beginning with is an absolute essentials of Islam. This was compiled by Sheikh Faraz Rabbani over sort of 15, 16 years ago. And it really is that. It really is the absolute essentials. And in this book, Sheikh Faraz, Hafizahullah, has put together from a book which I'll be mentioning very briefly. He's put together some basic aspects of what are the fundamentals of Islam that we need to know when it comes to belief, comes to our personal actions and conduct. And so he has compiled it from a book, Islah Ilm al-Hal, by the Ottoman Sheikh, the Turkish Sheikh Amin Cundi, rahimahullah. I think he originally wrote in Turkish, Islah Ilm al-Hal, and it got translated into Arabic so people can benefit, so a wider audience can benefit from it, particularly in the Levant. And Sheikh Faraz has taken snippets from that book and compiled it, and he's called it the absolute essentials of Islam. So we're going to read through that. I don't know how that blue mark appeared, but magically it appeared. So this book was published by White Thread Press. This is by Mufti Abdurrahman Mangera, hafizahullah, who runs White Thread, who's the dean, the principal of White Thread Institute, where I also have the honor of teaching. Mufti Saab's publishing house is White Thread Press, WTP, and it's dedicated to publishing traditional Islamic content, and alhamdulillah, it's doing a great service in khidmah. So this is published by White Thread, and here are the components of the book. So we'll be going through the belief section. That'll take us a few weeks, probably not more than that. I hope to cover the belief in Allah section this week. However long it takes, anyway, we'll take a few weeks to cover belief, a few weeks to cover the ahkam, the rulings related to tahara, purification, and then it'll take us several weeks to go through the core and absolute integrals of the salah, our prayer, and then some matters related to munjiyat, or salvation. And then, if need be, we can go through some of the appendices in there. So that's the kind of three components of the book: matters that are related to salvation, the salah, the hara, because the two are linked together, prayer and purification are linked together, and then there is belief. So we will begin with belief, bi-idhnillah, and we'll read through it. Oh, let me just see. Tell me if this sounds better. It might be the microphone that's probably not, wasn't close enough. If you can hear me better, let me know. And then I'll work on it, inshallah. I'll let me know if this is louder or this is better. A little better. Okay. Let me just check. It might be the microphone volume. Let me just see. Okay. If there's still, and I will be in Allah Ta'ala, I'll work on it. I'll maybe have to look at the settings from the microphone, bi-idhnillah. Allah yubarak feekum jami'an. So let's start, bismillah. So we're going to go through belief. And like I said, most likely we'll probably cover belief in Allah in this session. Most likely we'll probably cover that. And then the rest we'll cover in our next week's session. It's a slow drip, my dear brothers and sisters. And like I said, this is, you know, we're not in a sprint. With ilm, we want to take it as a marathon and take it slowly. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Sheikh Faraz mentions in his preface, you know, why he's compiled this book, from Sheikh Amin al-Jundi's Islah Ilm al-Hal. And if you see it there, it's quite simple, really, if we think about it. Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to worship Him. This is why we are on this earth. This is why we're on this earth. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to worship Him, He has given us the manner, the method, the manner and mode in which He wants us to worship Him. So we are not left to address our religious instinct. We are not left to do that by our own aql, our own intellect. Allah has given us guidance from Himself through His messengers, alayhim as-salam. And in our case, it's the best of messengers, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah has given us the method and the means by which He wants us to worship Him. So He's not left us to fulfill our religious instinct through our own intellect. And so worshipping Allah means we need to know how it is that Allah wants us to worship Him. The same with belief. The ideas that we hold about our Rabb Jalla wa Ala, our prophets, alayhim as-salam, angels, the revealed books, the matters of al-qada and al-qadr, the matters of Allah's decree and His predestination of things. There are sound thoughts related to these matters of faith. And so we need to know them. It's not left up to our intellect to just try and work it out. Because these touch on matters of ghayb, the unseen. And because the aql can't make judgments about the unseen, it needs revelation from the unseen to the seen, i.e. the seen world, the world of experience and sensation and matter, the world that we inhabit now, the world of sentience and consciousness. We need information to come from the realm of the ghayb to the realm of the unseen to the seen, to tell us about the unseen, because human beings cannot make judgments, they cannot make a hukum about these matters. And so because matters about Allah Azza wa Jal, matters about the Anbiya alayhim salam, matters about Allah's books, matters about Yawm al-Qiyamah, ayy al-Ba'ath, the resurrection, matters about al-Qadha wal-Qadr, these matters are related to the ghayb, most of it. So Allah has to inform us through his messengers, in our case, our Prophet, as to the truths are, the realities are of this realm. And so we need revelation to tell us that. So Sheikh Faraz mentions that the famous hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah gives, whoever Allah wants good for, He gives them tafaqquh, fuqh fi ddeen. He gives them this deep knowledge in religion. And so if we are those whom we see an increase in ilm, then this is a good from Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we see an increase in knowledge, then this must be a good that Allah wants for us. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to increase you and I in ilm nafi', in beneficial knowledge. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So Allah wants us to worship Him. So in order to worship Him, we need to have sound knowledge. And in order to get sound knowledge, it needs to come from a sound source. And this is essentially it. Sound knowledge is based on getting it from those ulama who have received it from the sounder source. Yeah, okay, Baba. So this a sound source is the most important source. And one of the books from which Sheikh Faraz has culled the details is considered to be a very beneficial and sound work when it comes to these matters of creed and law. So we are learning about the Sunni tradition and Sunni Hanafi in this particular case. I'm not going to talk about the virtues of the Hanafi school. We can leave that for another time. But in any case, success isn't, we are not going to be questioned in the grave about our madhab. We're going to be questioned in the grave about our belief and the amal that we did. And so we don't want to be very sectarian about these matters. Though, you know, I generally follow the Hanafi school, I consider Imam Abu Hanifa to be the greatest Imam, Imam al-A'zam. That shouldn't be, radiallahu an, that shouldn't be a reason to have ta'asub or fanaticism from someone who follows a different madhab, because all the Imams take us to Allah and His Messenger, rahimahumullah. So let us begin then our reading on the section of belief, from absolute essentials. And I am quite open to, if anyone wants to read, I'm happy to read. But if people feel they would like to read and contribute, feel free to put your hand up and by all means read. I'll be very happy with that. I mean, if folks feel that that's what they can do, just raise your hand, please, and I'm sure myself or admin can bring you in. I'm happy to do it like that. Otherwise, you know, if no one feels that they want to do it, I will read. I'm just going to close the door. So I'll read the first paragraph on belief, and then let's see if anyone else wants to jump in. We can benefit from the reading together. So the text says, Allah Most High says in the Quran, the messenger believes in what was sent down to him from his Lord, and the believers all believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. We make no distinction between any of the messengers. They say, we hear and we obey. Grant us your forgiveness, Lord. Our Lord, unto you is our return. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. This is the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah. كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. So this is the verse that it begins with. قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. So this ayah of Surah Baqarah 285, the last verses of Surah Baqarah. Then the hadith mentions the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, said, whoever meets his Lord without having associated any partners with Allah will take a place in paradise. And this is in the Sahihain. Two references that takes us to belief, and they're quite apt here, because we are going to be talking about belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the books, and belief in the messengers, and what the absolute essentials are that we have to have, what the absolute essential beliefs are we have to have when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, the angels, the anbiya, the prophets, the messengers, and the books that were revealed. And then it says here in the hadith that if we meet Allah Azza wa Jal in the hereafter with, you know, sincere belief and not, you know, avoiding shirk, and with all that shirk and all that avoiding shirk entails, i.e. we uphold tawheed and all that it entails, then Allah Azza wa Jal will guarantee us a place in Jannah. So this is why belief becomes very, very important. And so the text then says, if anyone wants to read, does anyone feel like they want to read? I may not be able to see everyone's. If not, that's cool. I will read, inshallah. So the text then says, belief in Allah. So we're now looking at the component of the book was three, remember? We said the Sheikh compiled the theology section, a creed section. And then the Sheikh compiled matters relating to Salah and Tahara, because the two are always connected. And then the Sheikh compiled matters related to salvation. Okay, so, belief in Allah. So the meaning of I believe in Allah is the following. I accept and believe that Allah Most High exists, is one, and that there is no deity but Allah. Allah is the one free of need for any other, and all besides him are in absolute need of him, for he is the creator and sustainer of all things. Only he is worthy of worship, and none other deserves to be worshipped. If we look at the Arabic, one of the commentaries of the of this text of Islah Ilm al-Hal, it mentions what is the meaning of amantu. And I just want to read it to you, so it'll give us a bit of a fuller sort of understanding. So ma'ana amantu billah. So if you see here, it says amantu billah wa aslamtu lahu wa adh'antu wa amantu bi malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal yawm al akhir huwa yawm al qiyamah yawm al ba'th wa an-nushur bil qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wa ma'ana amantu billah saddaqtu anna Allah ta'ala mawjudun wahid. So it means to utter that it's truthful, to be clear, to bear witness to the truth that Allah Ta'ala is mawjood, that He exists, and that He is wahid, He is one, and that He is the one who awjada jami' al-makhluqat min al-adam. So He's the one who brought forth all of creation out of nothing, min al-adam, so ex nihilo. So the belief is in Allah bringing all of creation. Allah is one, He exists. He brought all of creation out of nothingness. وهو الذي رباهم ولا تليق العبادة إلا له ولا يستحقها أحد غيره وهو سبحانه متصف بجميع صفات الكمال ومنزه عن جميع صفات النقص. So believing in Allah means that we believe that he nurtures, he supervises, he maintains and conserves in being all of creation. وَلَا تَلِيقُ الْعِبَادَةُ إِلَّا لَهُ. No one is worthy of worshipping anyone who has these attributes except Allah Azza wa Jal. He is one, there is nothing like him. مُتَّصِفٌ بِجَمِيعِ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. He is attributed with all the attributes of perfection. And we're going to look at these attributes now. وَمُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ جَمِيعِ صِفَاتِ النَّقْصِ. And he's far above attributions of any qualities of deficiency. So roughly that's what amantu billah here means. And this is what the Shaykh has summarized here for us. So Allah is characterized by all attributes of perfection, exalted above all attributes of imperfection. Now, there are three categories of the attributes that the Shaykh mentions. So he has categorized it into personal attributes, five negative attributes, and then the seven affirmative attributes. And we're going to go through them. So the text then says, the attributes of Allah may be classified into three categories: the personal attribute, the five negative attributes, and the seven affirmative attributes. So the personal attribute is considered to be Allah's being, his existence. And the negative attributes here are like not negative. I mean, sometimes people get confused about these. It's not that these are not positive attributes. Now, Allah can never be attributed with any deficiency or any negativity. So don't read negative attributes as being negative, you know, in the bad sense. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah has no negative attributes at all. To believe in that is disbelief. To believe that Allah has negative attributes in like a bad sense, like it's a deficiency, this can be a grounds of disbelief. Now, so what are these essential attributes of Allah, these negative attributes, yeah? These are beginninglessness, endlessness, oneness, self-subsistence, absolute dissimilarity from created things. So let's look at each, and I'm going to just share, hopefully you can see it. I'll just share what some of these attributes mean. So I think everyone can see that, right? So Here, you see, the Sheikh mentioned that God is beginningless and endless. Allah Azza wa Jal is beginningless and endless. Now, what some of these mean, I don't want to delve into the philosophical details, but generally, what these mean in the books of theology that we see is Allah being beginningless and endless means that Allah is timeless. So Allah exists out of time and is not affected by the flow of time. So Allah isn't affected by the flow of time because he's the Lord of time. Yeah. So Allah is eternal, meaning Allah has always existed and will always exist. He can never lack existence. And so Allah can't be subject to the beginning of time or end of time. He cannot be affected by it. So this also then must mean that Allah Jalla wa Ala is unchanging, because anything that's not affected by time is unchanging. So Allah's that, his nature, and his sifat, his attributes, do not change over time. They are always the same. So Allah has that immutability. Yeah, the unchanging nature of his attributes. He suddenly doesn't gain something because of anything. He doesn't lose something because of anything. So fourthly, Allah is not limited by time. So the past, present, and future doesn't limit him in any way. So we don't say that Allah knows the past and he knows the present, but he cannot know the future. In philosophy, this is called open theism. You may have come across this term, you may not have. Open theism is the idea that the divine does not know the future in any detail. For Muslims, we do not believe this. Allah knows the future. Absolutely. He has complete and infinite knowledge of all events in time. Allah is not caused by time. So nothing external to Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, affected him or brought him about. Of course not. And Allah is the creator of time. He created time and the universe and is not limited by the laws that he created and the principles that govern the natural world that Allah instituted himself as part of his tadbir, as part of his governance of his creation, as part of his inayah, as part of his providence. So these are some of the matters related to the attribute here of beginningless and endlessness. Now let's look at oneness, Allah's unity. Let's go in order. Let's look at Allah's self-subsistence. If you see this, I've just highlighted it here in yellow, yellowish orange. Self-subsistence. Now, what does that mean? Let's have a look. We call that a short way of saying Allah is self-subsistent is to say Allah's asay, al-qa'im bi-nafsihi, Allah's qayyumiyya. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah is not only living, Allah is qayyum. He's self-subsistent. He exists. He's self-existent. He's self-sufficient. And so what does it mean to be self-existent and self-sufficient? What does it mean to be qa'im bi nafsi? Allah establishes himself through his own essence. What does that mean? One, it means Allah Jalla wa Ala exists independently. He's not dependent on anything for his existence. He's not caused or sustained by anything. Allah is the source of all things. All of created things comes from Allah Azza wa Jalla and depends on Allah. It depends on Allah's will and power to remain in being. Allah is self-sufficient, meaning Allah lacks nothing and does not require anything outside of himself to sustain or fulfill his existence. Allah is eternal. We looked at that already. He always exists and will always exist. He's always existed and will always exist. And he's not subject to any limitations of time or anything created. Allah is a necessary being. And this is the Arabic wajib al-wujud. That Allah being self-existent means that he exists necessarily. And that means that there cannot be any conceivable situation, state of affairs, any way that it can be conceived that Allah lacks existence. Because his existence is necessary. It's not accidental. He cannot be denied existence. Neither can his existence be explained by any other cause. Allah is the creator of all that exists. So he creates everything and everything depends on him. He is not dependent on anything. So these are some of the six elements that captures Allah's self-sufficiency or him being self-subsistent. The next one is Allah's oneness and absolute dissimilarity from his creation. So he's mukhalifun lil hawadith. So I'll just put the, just quickly read the attributes here. So Allah has qidam, he has baqa, he has wahdaniyyah, qiyamuhu bi nafsi mukhalifatuhu lil hawadith. So Allah has wahdaniyyah, Allah has oneness, and he's mukhalifun lil hawadith. He's different from all his creation. So what do these entail? So let's look at Allah's unity. What does Allah's unity entail? He's wahdaniyyah. That means that Allah Azza wa Jal is one. He's single. He's indivisible. There's no plurality or division within his essence and nature. Allah, he's not composed of parts. Allah isn't made up of parts, even infinite parts. Allah being one, he's wahdaniyyah means he's the only ilah that exists and there are no other ilah other than him. This is the point of la ilaha illallah, the negation, the absolute negation of any other deities, any other gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is a source of all being. His wahdaniyyah, him being this unity, Allah is the source of all that exists and all things are dependent for him for their existence. Allah's wahdaniyyah also entails that his attributes are unified. So him being all-powerful, knowing everything, him being wise, perfectly good, holy, all these things, they're not like, they're not separate or distinct from one another, but yet there is a differentiation between them. They're all aspects of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, they're part of his attributes. Sorry, they're conjoined to his essence. Though they are separate attributes, they are not all identical to each other, but nevertheless, they are not distinct from him either. 5, Allah is transcendent. This is Allah's tanzih. Allah is above and beyond the physical world and all human understanding and comprehension and so on. And finally, Allah is the ultimate unity. We do not have ultimate unity. The ultimate unity is in the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, is in his being. That is the true unity. So that's Allah's wahdaniyyah. What about the creator-creature distinction? Mukhalifun lil hawadith. How is Allah, what does this mean? The creator, the khaliq, and the creation, creature, makhluq distinction. Well, really it means, not only in Christian, the concept, though creator-creature distinction comes from Christianity, we have the same idea that our ulama put, and this is mukhalifun lil hawadith, distinct from creation. But here it refers to the belief that there is a fundamental difference between creator and creature. The difference is fundamental, i.e. it's at the fundamental level, at the level of what we call ontology, or being. Ontology is just a posh word that philosophers use to talk about being. On the level of existing, Allah's existence is totally different from the way we exist. We depend on things. We depend on Allah. Allah's independent. That's part of his self-subsistence. we have a nature that is totally different from Allah's nature. Allah's that, Jalla wa'ala. So there is a total difference. We are finite, Allah is not finite. We are limited, Allah is not limited. We are muftakhirun, we are in need and dependent. Allah is not. He is al-ghani, he's free from all need. We are time bound, Allah is not time bound. And so on and so on. We are fallible, Allah is not fallible, Allah is infallible. Etc., etc. So the creator-creature distinction is total. It's total. So those are some of the attributes when it comes to Allah's negative attributes. And the affirmative attributes, the things that are established of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we're going to come close to wrapping up this part, that Allah has life. Allah has knowledge. Ilm. Allah has will and irada. Allah has power. He has qudra. He has hearing. He has sight. He has speech. And so these things are affirmed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, these attributes, and they come from the texts. They come from the texts. Let me just show you where they are here in the text. So here they are. Allah has hayat, knowledge, life, al-ilm, knowledge, al-sam', hearing, al-basr, seeing, will, yarada, qudra, power, kalam, speech, and so on. So these are the sifat that I just mentioned here. In the text, the affirmative attributes which Sheikh Faraz has translated as. So, continuing the text, Allah is absolutely unlike anything that comes to one's mind. It is not possible to understand the reality of Allah through the intellect alone, for He is exalted above being grasped by reflection and intellect. All other attributes return to these essential attributes, which are the most frequently mentioned in the Quran. So these are the attributes that have primarily been discussed by the ulama, which you'll find in the books of theology. And these are the ones that we come to again and again when we're reading the Quran, that Allah makes reference to. Allah makes reference to His knowledge, His power, His will, the fact that He hears and sees everything. And this is important because hearing, sight, and knowledge are linked together. Nothing escapes Allah's knowledge. So if we go here, and knowledge being His omniscience, what are some of the key aspects then of Allah's knowledge? So Allah's knowledge is that He knows everything that can be known. He sees everything that can be seen. He hears everything that can be heard, and nothing limits Allah's knowledge, nor His power, nor His attribute of hearing and seeing. Whatever, no space-time factor can limit that. Allah's knowledge is infallible, is always true. Allah can never be mistaken. Allah doesn't have statistical knowledge. This is what philosophers call statistical knowledge. Allah can't guess something to be the case. It's impossible. Nothing escapes Him in His creation because He's the one who sustains it and governs it and conserves it in being. So Allah knows every minute detail of His creation. There's nothing about His creation that He doesn't know. And that knowledge is absolutely infallible. It's accurate. It's never mistaken. Nothing can surprise Allah Azza wa Jalla, of course. Allah's knowledge is eternal. It's azali. His knowledge has always been there. He's always known everything. He doesn't acquire that attribute after He creates things. Allah's knowledge is all-encompassing. He sees everything that exists. He hears everything that exists. All thoughts, feelings, intentions of every creature. And this is why Allah answers all prayers. He can answer all dua because He knows the innermost thoughts, the khawatir, the things that are residing in one's heart, the innermost, the depth of our conscious that even perhaps we don't even want to you know, even that pattern we may not even be aware of. The conscious, the subconscious. Allah's knowledge is self-evident. Allah's knowledge is self-attesting. It doesn't need to depend on some external evidence. Allah doesn't have his attributes because we're able to prove it rationally. Even if we couldn't prove it rationally, it doesn't mean Allah lacks the attribute. It's not his attribute is self-attested. It comes from him, Jalla wa Ala, himself. And Allah's knowledge is necessary and it's not accidental. Allah has this sifa necessarily. He doesn't have it and then lacks it. He doesn't have it because someone out of some benevolence gave it to him. Wal-iyadu billah. Allah has it because it's purely from him, Jalla wa Ala. It's part of him. So that's the section very briefly on belief in Allah. So this section says the integrals that we need to know when it comes to belief in Allah as part of our creed means that we accept that Allah exists. He is one. He's free from any need. He's self-subsistent. He's perfect. He has all the attributes of perfection. And the attributes of perfection that we've been given in this book are three. The personal attributes. And here, all we need to know is that Allah exists. Being is part of his personal attribute. He has negative attributes in the sense that he has to have these attributes. They're essential. That's what it means. It cannot be the fact that Allah is not beginningless. It cannot be the fact that Allah is not endless. It cannot be the fact that Allah is not one. It cannot be the fact that Allah is not self-subsistent. It cannot be the fact that Allah is not absolutely different from his creation. These are necessary. He has to have them, essentially. And then the affirmative attributes are that Allah is living, that Allah has life, that Allah has knowledge. He has a will. He decides what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. He has power. He has the attribute of hearing, attribute of sight, and he has the attribute of speech without entailing any limitation. And none of these hearing, sight, and speech are in any way like that of creation. And nothing like that of creation. And so that ends our section on beliefs. Let me just see if there's any questions before we wrap it up for the hour on this particular point. The point of these sessions, barakallahu feekum, the point of these sessions is we're not obligated to become philosophers. We're not obligated to become philosophers. This is why you see in here in the book Absolute Essentials, there's no commentary. Right? There's no commentary. It's stating what are the integrals that we need to believe when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal. And as long as we believe in these. Now, I'm not saying that we don't get clarification and understanding on them. I'm saying that will come as we progress in the course, progress up the phases or the levels when we do a different text, like the commentary of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. And so the Sharh, Fiqh al-Akbar, these are texts that have commentary on these creedal formulations. The ulama have explained them and at times have commented on them to give some clarification, some bayan on these matters. But for us, I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself. You know, who this is what I know and that's it. That's all I'm obligated to know. I don't know anything more than this, but this is all I'm required to know. I'm required to know. I'm not even obligated to know the different taqseem, divisions of the attributes, i.e. their formal terms. I'm required to know that Allah Jalla wa Ala exists with conviction and utter certainty, and that Allah is beginningless and endless. He's one, he's self-subsistent, and nothing is like him. And this is all derived from the Quran. Surah Ikhlas, we have it, and in many places in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٍ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. That is sufficient for me to know. And then I need to know that Allah is living, of course. I can show rationally how these must follow. But what I'm saying is, if I can't philosophically explicate or rationally explicate these in any detail, that doesn't mean my belief is deficient as such. This is the integrals that I'm required to know. But we want to make the quality of our belief enriched as well. And that comes with studying some of this, getting clarification on some of this, so we enrich and fortify our belief. So it's Iman seeking clarification. Not Iman, not doubt seeking answers. It's Iman. We've already got tasdiq. We got tasdiq jazim. We got absolute conviction. We have absolute belief in Allah. This is why it's Iman. And Iman is tasdiq. Iman is having decisive conviction, absolute conviction and belief in the thing that is the object of your belief. And here it's the belief in Allah. So we have that definitive belief, but we have that yaqeen, but sometimes we may get clarification on it. And there are books written on matters of creed that don't really explain it in any, you know, with theological and philosophical commentary. You find these in the books of Ilmul Kalam, the books of the science of rational theology. Any thoughts that anyone has, feel free to jump in. I'll just quickly see one text here that I remember it caught my attention. I wanted to read to you guys. Inshallah, there is a time and place to go into depth on these matters, and I agree, but we will come to that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But even if it's not for myself, the more qualified scholars will take you through it. I think just let me mention some sort of timetabling issues. My apologies, originally it was advertised for Tuesdays, but unfortunately I have a tight schedule on a Tuesday, which sometimes it might border on there being a clash. So just to make sure there wasn't overlap between my other commitment and this session, I had to move it, my apologies, onto a Thursday. But what will be the case is these will be recorded and then they will be made available at a later time, whenever it's convenient for you to watch over again. And I deliberately want to keep them short so people can go through them and finish them. Any notes that I have, like today I read through some notes, I'll send them as well to our administrator and they can send them out to you if you feel these notes are helpful, if it's beneficial. If not, yeah, you know, we don't need to read them in case some people wanted some extra reading. So I may touch on, and I don't know if I mentioned it at the beginning, I may touch on some theological discussions here and there if it's absolutely necessary. Like the way I explained some of the attributes today, I'll give you a list of what that will involve. So when we look at belief in angels, I might list what that entails. And so that way, I think that if that's helpful, then people can use it. I think the link to Prince Ghazi's launch should be available. I've got to confirm with admin if it's available publicly on YouTube.
Yes, it is available on YouTube. Launch will be on YouTube. Channel.
Do you have a link here? Let me. I'll have to quickly make a search.
Can I send you on WhatsApp that link?
Okay. Yes.
Give me a second, inshallah.
I mean, yeah, I'm more than happy to, and then I can post it. I'm actually on my laptop at the moment, but anyway, it's fine. I've got the YouTube link and then I I'll send it in here. Sure. Let me just, I'm just going to stop sharing for a second. Ah, it's done. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Here on chat.
Fantastic. Fantastic. There we are. So that's the link there. And please, have a watch. Watch it, and that will give you the outline of what YS is about, what the purposes are of these courses. And they're running, alhamdulillah, this is for the four madhahib. So we have the Hanafi, we have the Shafi'i, Hanbali, and the Maliki running parallel, overlapping at different times as well. So we hope this is beneficial. And this was our first session. Please come with your comments, any thoughts you might have. Like I said, I want to keep the reading minimum to, and my constant talking minimum to 25 to 30 minutes. Then the rest, I want to bring in your thoughts. I want it to be as interactive as possible. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And I know theology can be difficult, so please don't. I don't want anyone to feel, I've not studied theology. If you haven't studied theology in any depth, please. This course is not about a knowledge testing and things like that. So this is about us trying to learn our essentials. I'm in the same boat as you. Like I said, I can only speak for myself. For those of you who fear that you've not got a theology background or a philosophy background, you don't need it. The absolute essentials has been written in order to, for us to just know our integrals and our immediate essentials when it comes to the knowledge. What is the difference between Allah being existent and Allah being living? Well, I mean, of course, existence entails, just give me one second. So. We understand rationally that give me one. Oops, am I still on? Yeah. What just happened there? Sorry. Can everyone still hear me? Yeah, I can. Sorry, my camera just went off. I'm going to put it on again. Sorry. Existence is a matter of... Sorry, my apologies. I'm just going to turn my video on. Here it is. Yeah. So there's a qualitative difference between sort of existence, which is like a judgment about the status of something. Yeah. So Allah's existence is necessary. That's a hukum, a judgment about Allah Azza wa Jal. We exist accidentally, i.e., we don't exist necessarily. That's a hukum about our reality, our status. So we fall under the category of contingent existence. We are beings who exist contingently. We may exist, we may not exist. What's the proof of that? Well, all of us didn't exist at one point. Only by the blessing of Allah, through the medium of our parents, we came about into this dunya. So that's sort of wujud, existence, in a very rough, I'm giving you in a very rough sort of sense. And hayat is about Allah being living. And that's a kind of qualitative matter. So that's why Allah makes a reference to himself as Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. From Allah's life, Allah is a living being. He's not just a mere abstract category of existence. Can you see? He's a living creator. And with all that entails, having qualities, properties. So does that make sense? I mean, Allah's just not a abstract philosophical category of existence. Allah Jalla wa Ala is Hayyum. He's living. He's our creator who interacts, intervenes. Can you see? So he's not just an abstract. So life here adds a qualitative dimension, not just a mere abstract, rather than just having a mere abstract philosophical idea. And I'll end with this. Yeah, you could say, so we say Allah Jalla wa Ala is a personal in that sense, yes, because he has, you know, he created creation out of rahmah, he has wud, he's al-wudud, he loves his creation. There is no religion. Christianity, there is no concept of love, Allah loving creation like we have in Islam. I'm sorry, there just isn't. We have one of the 99 names of Allah being al-wudud. Tell me where that is in the Bible anywhere, or any other religion. So this idea, and I don't want to take us down philosophy, because I'll wrap it up here, is that there is a tussle between the God of the philosophers and the God of the theologians. So the God of scripture and the God of the philosophers. The God of the philosophers is built on sort of entailments from rational principles, whereas the God of scripture is grounded in qualities that we could never know this creator had unless the creator told us about those qualities. And they are personal qualities. The al-wudud. I mean, that is about Allah's character in that sense. How can the mind extract al-wudud from reality? It cannot. You can establish that Allah is al-khaliq in the sense of a creator who's uncreated. But al-wudud, al-rahman, al-rahim, al-ghaffar, al-jabbar. And there are more qualities, barakallahu feek. There are more that we can get into, but I wanted to just put it in that kind of simplified term. Jazakumullahu khairan. And thank you for being patient in this session. May Allah give us tawfiq to increase our knowledge and so we can draw closer to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah allow us to act on the knowledge that we know. And I ask your forgiveness for any shortcomings in these sessions. Any mistakes are all from me. And the truth will always abide, because the truth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week, I'll see you at 6 o'clock GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, UK time. And we'll be looking at, let me just mention quickly, in case some people want to read ahead, we should be looking at belief in the angels and the books. I may not be able to squeeze messengers in from the way I planned it, but belief in angels and the books, we hope to cover that with you. So, Narakum ala khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.